All right, fantastic. We've got a couple of minutes here before we get started. We got some people that are dialing in now. Who's on the line so far? I heard Marty and I heard Carol. Who else is out there?
Roger and Debbie.
Who was that?
Roger and Debbie Carol.
Oh, Roger, fantastic. Great. Glad you made it. I saw your
Keith Johnson yesterday.
Keith here. Good, Keith. All right. Keith, Carol, Roger. Marty. Who else do we have so far? We got a bunch on the line so far. Who else is there?
Chester Rowe.
Who is that?
Chester Rowe.
Oh, Chester. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Wonderful. Let's see. Okay, so it looks like we have the background noise under control for the day. So I'm going to try to leave us unmuted for as long as I can. Mr. Oliver's going to be on in a few minutes. He wanted to walk through a few of the action items and things like that from our sessions last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know. Time seems like it's flying. A couple of weeks ago here in Orlando. So if we can control the background noise as much as we can, if you can mute yourself on your own phone, that would be useful. I'll put a Q&A mode if we need to, if we have that requirement. So I know sometimes it's you forget you're off mute or whatever, and it becomes an issue. But anyway, so listen, so we've got about five or six things that we kind of need to cover, but I wanted to go through like one logistical item here with everyone real quick while we're here. Maybe two. The back end of what we're doing in the NetWeb member site, we've been working on really hard for the last couple of months, and I wanted to make sure that everybody took a minute to go through, go to the member site and go to the My Account tab, and make sure that all your contact information is good there. Make sure all the details are correct. And let me qualify what I'm saying for a specific purpose. There are two specific purposes. One is I really want to make sure that we have a clear line of communication, that we have the right mobile number in there for you so that the text messages of the conference calls and things like that you're actually getting them. We're using that very sparingly, obviously. We don't want to, flood your text inbox or anything. But for conference call reminders and live meeting reminders and things like that, we're using that quite a bit. So if you did not get the text messages, you should have gotten two of them or maybe three of them, I think. Maybe two of them, one Monday and one today, or maybe three. For this call, if you did not get those, then it's very likely that we have a bad mobile number. We don't have the right mobile number for you in the system. So if you can go into your My Account tab on the NetWeb member site and check that, that'd be great. The school phone, obviously it's useful for that to be the actual school phone number. And really, there aren't a lot of purposes for us to use that other than what I'm going to say next. So I guess the moral of this particular story is if you could, make sure you go into the NetWeb member section, click the My Account tab, check and make sure that all that information is good. And the secondary reason for that, obviously, the clear line of communication is very, very important. But the second reason for that is we're very, very, very close to having these sort of done for you, follow-up sequences done for Kick and newsletter, for we're starting to get a bunch of background noise, guys. I'm gonna have to put us on Q&A mode. Yeah, it sounded like someone was maybe in a car or something like that, had some traffic noise. So everyone's muted right now. You can hit *6 to unmute yourself. We have a pretty good quorum so far. Let me finish this, this logistical item, and then we can move on with our agenda for the day. But go to the NetWeb member section, click My Account, and double check that information is all good. Again, the secondary purpose for that is I went through over the last 2 days and debugged a lot of these done-for-you follow-up sequences, and we're almost ready to launch that. Probably within a few days, we'll be beta testing that with a bunch of guys. And the done-for-you sequences, for example, for National Black Belt Club, for Gold Team, for the Leadership Program, and also for Kick and Newsletter in general, you can basically data enter, a student or a group of students into the system, and they'll automatically get those updates. They'll automatically get that weekly Kick and Newsletter. They'll get the Leadership Lessons of the Month, the Gold Team Lessons of the Month, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all that stuff can happen without you having to do anything. But the messages that we're sending look like they're coming from you. So we're using your information, the data that you have in your My Account tab will be merged into that email. Does that make sense? So when, for example, let's say I enrolled someone in my leadership program and I wanted that student to get the weekly ticket newsletter, the gold, National Black Belt Club material, and the leadership material. So I would data enter them in, I would tick all three boxes and say go, right? You know, hit the submit button. When those newsletters go live and they email directly to the student, your information will be at the bottom of it. It'll say, you know, this school is a proud member of the National Association of Professional Martial Artists, you know, and we kind of celebrityize you a little bit, give you, you know, some credibility and things like that on the world stage. But then it puts your information in there. So, you know, your school name, your contact information, your school phone number, not your mobile number, right, but the school phone number, the website, email address, stuff like that. And that's designed for not just your current students, but you can drop leads into that as well, right? So the Kicking Newsletter is a great tool to send to all of your prospects. So again, this, if you can double check to make sure that all that information is accurate, you know, accurate and up to date, if you decide to use this type of service where the messages are going directly to prospects or directly to students for you, then all that information will be accurate, right? The website they go to will be the right website. The email address that they reply to will be the right email address, things like that, okay? And I'm going to do a deep set of tutorials to walk you through how to manage all this stuff. But just for today's purposes, again, if you didn't get the text messages for today's call, or for some reason if you didn't get the emails for today's call, whatever the case is, go into that thing, click my account, update that information for me, and we'll go from there. So that should sort of expedite having any weird linking issues or anything like that. And we'll be ready to talk about that in just a few days.
And that's a quick question. We have two or three members that I can think of top of my head where father-son team, both Oris Danios and Paul Miller, where, and I'm sure there's a lot of other examples I could think of top of my head, where one person gets the email, the other person doesn't get the email. If I'm not mistaken, in our infusion, when we send out a broadcast, it doesn't allow it to go to two or three different email addresses for the same person. Is that right?
Yeah, no, just one primary text right now.
Yeah. So a workaround that we've done a lot of times on the back end for our schools is you can set up a redirect email address through your own server. So you set up, you know, admin@nymm.com or something like that, and then you have it go to, you know, everybody you want to have on the distribution list for stuff like showing up on this call, and then use that as the email address you give us. That's the best solution I can come up on top of my head, unless you have a different one.
Yeah, I would suggest the easier way to do it would if you use Gmail or Outlook or any other mail client. They usually have rules that you can set up. And you can just set up a rule that says anytime an email comes from @natba.com, forward it to these five people, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So that might be easier. You know, I imagine a lot of people don't have access to their, you know, website server necessarily, but that client side you usually do have access to. Obviously, the downside is the email has to come to the client before it can be forwarded, but, you know, that's usually a pretty good system. So definitely Gmail can do it. Outlook can do it. Almost all the modern mail clients can do that.
Yeah. Okay. So there's even an easier solution. So good. Hey, Pastor, one of the things that the last call we did, I thought worked out extremely well, and of course, thanks everybody for showing up. We've got about 20 people on the call here. But what I'd like to do, and do it as expeditiously as possible, try to do kind of like a quick roll so we know who's here, and the easiest way probably is, who do we have on the call calling from 762 area code?
We already know, Mr. Oliver, that we have Pete Johnson, Marty Callahan, Carol Middleton.
Okay.
Gosh, I did it and I didn't write it all down.
Marty? Okay. I'm sorry.
Chester's here.
Who? Say it again.
That's not going to be very comprehensive, but we have Pete Johnson, Marty Callahan, Carol Middleton, Chester.
Okay.
A couple of others sounded off too, but now of course I can't remember. I didn't jot it down.
Okay. So who has Master Mallory not mentioned so far? I see 2A1. Is that Travis Cook? Travis, are you online?
Everybody's muted right now. You have to
hit star 6.
Hello?
Hi, is this Travis?
Yeah, this is Travis. I had to unmute. I was talking to myself.
There you go. Okay, fantastic. And then I see 570. I think that's Houston. So, hi, and Eric. Are you on the call?
Hey, Master Oliver, it's Joe Hunsinger from Pennsylvania. 570 area code is Pennsylvania as well.
Oh, okay. I was confused. So we've got Joe Hunsinger. Very good. And then I see, looks like Nick Massey's on the line. Is that true? Nick, are you there?
Yeah, hi, this is Nick.
Fantastic. And then, let's see, 9. Who else do we have here? Looks like Dave Moss. Are you with us also? Perhaps not. Okay. And who hasn't identified themselves yet?
Roger Cavanaugh.
Roger Cavanaugh is here, too. Roger, just
okay,
at the same time.
Good.
Yep, Roger Cavanaugh and his wife are here, too.
Fantastic. Welcome.
Tim Harrison's here.
Tim Harrison. Fantastic, Tim.
Yes.
Ty Garrett,
fantastic. And who else hasn't identified himself?
This is J.P. Cook. I'm Travis Cook's brother from Houston, Texas.
Simon's staying here.
And somebody else just talked over you there. So who was the other person? Okay, and then I think we still have 5 or 6 others hiding in the shadows, but if anybody hasn't identified themselves, go ahead and identify yourself. But I've got Pete
Simon Chang here. Simon!
Yes.
Simon Chang.
I'm trying to figure out this mute thing.
Yeah, it's a little wacky. Yeah, it's Star 6 will mute and unmute you. Sometimes we can get away with not having everybody muted, but we ended up with some traffic noise today, so.
Yeah.
I remember we did a bunch of stuff with Jay Abraham one time, and there was always the guy with the German Shepherd that sounded like he was sitting in his office next to the phone barking. And so sometimes you get... Hey, Simon, let's welcome you as our newest member here. And Simon, you're down in Georgia, so give everybody a little thumbnail of where your school is at, what you're trying to accomplish here real quick.
What was that?
Give everybody a little thumbnail of what your school looks like now and what you're trying to accomplish here. Because as our newest member, let's introduce you to everybody real quick.
My name is Simon Chang, and I run Columbus Mixed Martial Arts in Fort Benning, Georgia, around there. And, right now our active count is 265. And this month we reached right under 40K, I started with the whole Lloyd Irvin program, and I kind of got put on to Stephen Oliver through Lloyd, and so, yeah, I'm here to learn.
Fantastic. Well, welcome, Simon, and you'll hear a few voices. And hopefully get to put them together, but then we have our next meeting, which is actually going to be down in Houston in May. We'll get a chance to get face-to-face with her. And, of course, you met a few there in Orlando. I think when you were there, Carol was there, and Joe was there, and Peter was there, or Steve was there. And I haven't heard Paul on the line there, but Paul Miller was there. Tim Harrison was there, so... You met quite a few. So anyway, welcome to the team here. And Ty, for everybody's benefit, but I just forwarded over the proof of that postcard that you just sent me to everybody. So it anyone on the call who's on your computer, you might pull that up. I also sent over the notes that Marty Callahan had just sent. So thank you, Marty, for that. That's, I'm sure that'll be useful for everybody as a thumbnail. And there were, I think I'm mistaken. Marty, I sent your notes about a week ago. Joe Hunsinger, I sent his notes around just now. I believe that's actually correct. But Ty, I sent your artwork for that postcard. And anybody who has that in front of you, unmute and let's do some feedback. But let me kind of start with the notes that I made, Ty, and hopefully this will be helpful. And Matthew Melroy, before I do that, top of your head, what are some good how to do direct mail resources that we have on the member site? Should I let you think about that one for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me let you think about that for a second. But let me give you some feedback. Matthew Miller, you should have this in your email box as well as if you're looking at it. Here was my initial comments is I see a lot of people on advertising identifying the school. In this case, you say Extreme Martial Arts, 3701 Plains Boulevard, number 16, Amarillo, Texas. Zip code, phone number, website, and a Facebook account, or yeah, Facebook page. What I would always do is I would try to make the address much more visual for somebody. And a lot of people who get this are going to have driven by your school 120 times, and they don't know that they have done it. And if you just want validation of that, when you're in the car today, driving where you normally drive. Take a minute, take a deep breath, and try to identify how many merchants there are, how many signs there are, how many, like, really visible things there are on the path that you've never even paid attention to and didn't know was there before. Does that make sense? And it's a good drill to do for yourself all the time, because it'll make you realize, one, just what a Herculean effort it is to get people's attention. But number two is it's a useful exercise just to figure out what around you might be useful for you from co-promotional activities. And if you constantly have that awareness, you're in good shape. But on the address, I would always do cross streets and landmarks, right? So if I had the school that was, and I don't know your cross streets, obviously, but if it's at Plains Boulevard and 37th, I would put intersection of 37th Plain Boulevard next to the Home Depot or next to the AMC Theater or whatever it is. Because you're not going to have in an advertisement, they're not going to sit down and write you in a letter and put it in an envelope and send it to you to respond. So you don't need like your real mailing address. What you need is a visual for them to kind of see in their mind where you're at, and then oftentimes you get that kind of aha moment of, oh yeah, I've driven by there 22 times, or oh, that's just right down the street. Does that make sense? The other thing I would do is tell them explicitly how you want them to respond. So you have the phone number, the website, and the Facebook page, and my gut reaction is to drop the Facebook page altogether, but then have a line at the bottom that says to receive your free trial lesson, free group lesson, free semi-private lesson, and free one-on-one consultation, call now, phone number, and talk to Sue, or visit extrememartialarts.com for more information and to register for your free offer, right? I mean, something very explicit like that. Never assume that they're going to figure out what to do next. Does that make sense? So make it very, very, very explicit. Matt Miller, what's your thought on a postcard mailing driving up to a Facebook page?
Well, it depends on the Facebook page. I mean, if it's a squeeze page that's gonna, that's gonna generate a lead, then yeah, why not? But
right.
In most cases, what I think what you just said is kind of a critical component about putting in a web URL. you want to tell them what to do, right? I mean, even reasonably, even you know, really dumb people follow pretty good instructions reasonably well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you tell them what to do and give them a reason to go do it, you're much more likely that they're actually going to do it. So if just by putting the words on the page doesn't really inspire somebody to want to go do it. So I think if you put, you know, encompassed around the URL or whatever, you know, visit this page to register for your free this, free that, free this, free that, you know, do it now or whatever. I mean, that I think you get a much higher percentage of people who are actually going to go do that, right? If it's just kind of listed on there, it doesn't really tell me why I should go there, you know? So I think either way, if you've got your Facebook page set up to capture leads, you know, in real time, that's great. Then what, you can drive them there, sure, you know, why not? I'd rather drive them to my own page so that they're not distracted by all the Facebook stuff. But either way, I think you want to give them a reason to do it. You know, you want to kind of give them the, like, why should I go? What are you telling me to do, and why am I doing it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Ty, we've talked about the website quite a bit already, but when you go to the website, it asks you to opt in first. And we'll want to fix that, because what will happen is a lot of people, you know, I mean, they don't have any reason to yet. To give you any information, so that gets in the way. Anybody else on the call? For instance, let's Pete. Do you have that in front of you? We lose Pete. Star six.
Well, I noticed that.
Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, all those people, just a line of them, doesn't really do anything to me, and it doesn't really engage me emotionally. I would rather see, you know, two people working together and looking like they're really, you know, getting into it and not scary. And the guy with the black E and his back to us, that, I feel like there's a wall there between me and the people. And he just kind of looks scary. He doesn't also draw me in. And then the black over him feels, I don't know, maybe edgy to some people and appealing to some people. Doesn't feel appealing. It does something about the whole thing that doesn't really draw me in. Plus, it feels cluttered, and you know, it's hard to figure out where my eye should be drawn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I agree with Carol. I think that the black is a kind of an ominous color. I think if you just did a quick color scheme switch to blue to match the uniforms that are in the pictures, I think it would soften it. And I don't know, I might be repeating what was said, but I think the idea of offering a question or solving a solution with confidence, self-discipline, respect, be the type of things you're looking for. Start here. You know, something a little bit more of an invitation than a call to action.
You bet. You bet. I agree with all that. What struck me about the picture is I don't like the back of the instructor's back.
Agreed.
And even if I had the picture and I cut the instructor out and I had all the looks like kids and a few adults on the left hand side, I'd rather have that piece of the picture than to have the instructor's back to me. The individual pictures, I like all of them. I don't have any qualm with them at all. The one with the instructor teaching kids looks engaging, isn't threatening. The jiu-jitsu one, I'm having a hard time a little bit seeing it with a JPEG, but those all look pretty good to me. I might want maybe a little bit better, sexier picture on the fitness kickboxing. Of course, we have a huge archive of that kind of stuff if you need something. The offer gets a little bit buried in that circle, and I don't mind the circle thing, but what I would probably do is add it separately as well. Free. Ty, you've probably seen some of the ways we've done the other offers, but you know, check mark free trial period, check mark free group lesson, check mark free 1-on-1 consultation, check mark free private lesson. Making it explicitly kind of in a line outside of that as well would be useful. Other feedback on this so far?
Ms. Hauber, don't miss, let's not miss Pete's statement, because it was a lot smarter than most people would decipher. Because Pete's comment was, okay, so like direct mail 101, there are three parts of every ad. Number one is the headline. Number two is the body copy. Number three is the offer, right? So just, I would say for today's intents and purposes, that would be a good framework for everybody to start with, right? Headline, copy, offer. Make it that simple, right? And what Pete said is really insightful, because the headline, for all intents and purposes, should accomplish one of two things, either promise a benefit or solve a problem, right? Now, a third potential thing that the headline can do is create interest, but that always gets kind of hinky, and it's more complicated and more complex mostly than people are willing to deal with, right? But what Pete said is, if your headline, instead of the headline just stating benefits, just listing them, you know, self-confidence, focus, you know, whatever, right? That doesn't tend to be as engaging as either asking them a question to which their answer moves them closer to the sale, or making a statement in such a way that would inspire them to believe you, right? Instead of just kind of like a list of benefits, like I think what Pete said is really insightful. You know, attention parents, you know, colon, you know, does your child sometimes not listen? Question mark. You know, attention parents, could your child use more self-confidence? You know, something like that. Some question that if a parent were to read that, or if the reader reads it, everything that you do to them on that page creates a conversation in their mind. So if you can get that conversation to get them to move toward you, you're much better off, right? So I think that's a pretty insightful thing that Pete mentioned just kind of in passing, that you should really kind of be considering. What question could we ask, or what statement could we make that gets them in their mind to say to themselves, you know, that is interesting. You know, this is interesting. What are you talking about here? You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, you know, more insightful than maybe at first blush you would think.
No, I think that was great. One of the better ads that we did with, name slipping me for a second, in Indianapolis. Remember, we put together that campaign that worked really well for them, and it was parents that you tried everything, right? And that worked really well, and that was one of my other, probably the most important note that I had on this was it needs a stronger, more powerful headline. And essentially, bullet points isn't a very good headline. So the headline right now is confidence, self-discipline, respect. I mean, those are all the benefits we want to espouse, but it doesn't, the headline's always the ad for the ad. It doesn't really suck you into the ad very well. Any other comments or feedback, Master Miller, or from anybody else right now?
Is this like a two-sided postcard, and this is basically like the billboard side, or what is it?
It's every door you rent, quite limited
on
how much stuff
to
put on it.
Couldn't hear that.
Yeah, it's a postcard for every door direct, and it does have content on the other side, but apparently not much more than like a banner on the other side. So not a lot of space for content. And there is another question. So who on the call has had some experience with doing every door direct?
We've had just off the top of my head, okay, so Mike Pace, John Metcalf, Pete didn't do it. No, Mike, John.
Yeah, Mike, I remember.
There were a couple of others, yeah, in just recent history had done it.
Yeah.
I can't say we've seen spectacular results yet, but.
Mike was underwhelmed with the results. It's not that he didn't have results, but it wasn't, you know, wasn't what he was hoping for.
Hey, Master Oliver.
Yes.
This is Jeff Sales from Virginia Beach. Hey. Yeah, I had done some direct mail marketing. I did it for about, it was like 3-4 runs, and I really had, it didn't produce what I wanted. The headline was just a benefit like he has here. It was just in big bold letters. It said confidence. but it only had one image in the middle, and it was a kid, so it was a kid ad, and that's exactly what we're targeting. The only thing that I see with this over here is that there's a lot of pictures. It just seems like it's too much, it's too busy. And because it's too busy, I'm just confused by it. That's the only thing that I would say about it.
What, Ty, what size ad does this come out to? Does this end up being like an 8.5 by 11 postcard, or is it actually a little bit smaller than that?
It's an 8.5 by 11.
Yeah, so I mean, by the time it's done, though, the way it looks now is it really is a bigger bigger piece. And the first iteration you had, Ty, was this picture of the five kids.
Yes,
all
sir.
Kind of smiling with their hands raised. Tell me, what do you think? If it's 8.5 by 11, is that too cluttered, or is that is do you think? I mean, and keeping in mind, there's not much on the other side. I mean, he has to make pretty much the entire ad work from the billboard side.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't see that it is just really for one primary reason. Well, let's make one assumption here, and this is a big assumption. If you want to have a multi-targeted ad like this, like meaning you're trying to attract four different markets, which I think...
Which is difficult to do.
Exactly. From a fundamental level, yeah. I think that's a relatively flawed strategy. Not that it won't work, right? Not that's a big winner or a big loser, but I do think statistically you're better off targeting one market at a time. But if we're going to operate under the premise that I want to target these different markets, and really there's only two markets here. There's fitness and there's kids and families, right? Because jujitsu and self-defense doesn't identify a market.
No.
You know, I don't know what that is, right? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really identify a market. But if we're going to operate under that premise, I don't think that, you know, having that many faces in the picture is a bad thing, because only for one reason. Because really, you're going to ignore the picture anyway. The only thing you're going to do to the picture is identify yourself or not. And what I like in the picture is that there's a couple of people of color, there's a couple of women, there's a couple of men, there's, you know what I'm saying? So I can look at it and I can find myself in there pretty much whoever I am. So I'm okay with that. I think you can bypass, I think Jeff has a good point, you do have to be careful with clutter. But I think you could fix this pretty easily with a really big headline. That draws me into why it is. You know what I'm saying? And then your eye is going to kind of move around that picture anyway. You know what I'm saying? So the way most people, by the way, consume direct mail or any kind of print content, this is just for everybody's edification, like from a scientific, you know, standpoint. Mostly what we do is we read like a newspaper. The number one thing that people, their eye will be attracted to is the headline, right? Because we want to know what it's about. The second thing that we usually are attracted to is the bottom, like, right. Like, if it's an offer or a coupon or whatever that might be, that's always the second thing that your eye is drawn to, because you see the headline. We're used to reading newspapers. Newspapers are constructed specifically the way we read things. They lay a newspaper out. They haven't trained us to read newspapers. It's the other way around. They lay newspapers out in the way that human beings consume content, right? And probably there's been some influence on that.
And that becomes self-reinforcing,
Exactly. It's like a loop, right? So anyway, so your eye is going to hit the headline first. It's going to be drawn to the bottom right second, especially if it looks like a coupon or an offer, because that's just naturally how people interact with print material. They see that headline and they go, oh, what's this all about? And they look for the fine print, right? That's kind of what their mind is doing. They're looking for, what's the deal here? What is this, right? And then they're going to go back to a picture with a caption. So if you look at like a newspaper ad, a direct mail ad, a sales letter, a flyer, anything, you know, they've done studies on this for years and years and years and years and years and years. If you get David Ogilvy's book, a couple of his books from like the 20s, and then 50s and 60s, I guess, on direct response.
Yeah, Ogilvy doesn't quite go that far back, but Ogilvy was... if you watch the show Mad Men, really based upon Ogilvy, but they reference Ogilvy fairly often. That he was
But if you go back to all that stuff, you'll kind of see how they study like how the human eye moves, and you know what's happening in your mind, what kind of internal dialogue you're having. But just consider that the first thing they're going to consume is almost always the headline. partially because it's bigger and bolder, but also because they're deciding what to invest their time in. So yeah. Just like we consume internet content on Facebook, we skim down the page and we hit the headlines, right? After we hit a headline that intrigues us, then we choose to invest more time reading the article, reading what it is. So we hit the headline and exactly.
Yeah.
So we sort of sort that out, right? So we're going to hit the headline. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, like, one of my daily routines is, like, you know, the only paper I subscribe to is the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, if somebody asks me, I say I read the Wall Street Journal every day. But the reality is, you know, I go through three sections, read all the headlines, and probably read two or three articles.
Right.
But that's the way, you know, if you're going through the mail, really what you're doing is you're sorting what you're going to throw away. And so you're reading the headline, or and again, it's where the good thing about a postcard is you get the ability to have a big full-color photo there that then can capture their attention or not. And so it gives them a benchmark for deciding whether they're going to read it from there or not.
Right. Which is exactly why, operating under the premise that we want to attract various markets, it's the reason why I don't have that much of a problem with that picture, because no matter who I am, I find myself in there.
Yeah.
You know, if it were only the picture of the woman in, you know, in a sports bar or whatever, I don't see myself in there. If I'm a Hispanic male, 26, I don't see myself in that picture either, right? But this one I do. So that's why I kind of like it. But your point is exactly right. So I'll wrap the entire three bullet points here. First, they're going to grab the headline. Then they're going to decide whether they want to invest time reading more. Once they grab the headline, then they're going to go to the bottom right corner, see what the deal is here, see what the fine print is, which, by the way, it's a great way to use asterisks. What's plural for asterisks? Asterisk. Asterisks? What's plural for asterisk? By the way, I don't know what plural for asterisk is. But anyway, it's a great way to use asterisks, right? Because they're always looking for the fine print to see if it's a scam or not, right? You know, to see what the deal really is. So it's a good way to use that if you put that below your offer as like a guarantee or something, right? So if you put your, because that's what their eye is going to be naturally drawn to anyway, right? Then the third stop for their eye is a picture with a caption. And the caption is like the third most read piece of any article, of any piece of content. So it's a great idea. In your current pictures, you have women's kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, you know, et cetera. You have the stylist there. Well, knowing that that's going to be a much-consumed piece of content, it's a really good idea to put some thought into what that says. So how about, instead of just women's kickboxing, how about something like, you know, lose 10 pounds while having a great time in our women's kickboxing class, you know, something like that, right? You know, little subhead with a bigger head, with a bigger style, things like that.
Let's make that clear. I mean, since you have 8.5 by 11, is you could have a subhead on each of the photos that then anchors in the target audience and benefits. And it's again, if you look at in the newspaper as an example, this is the way people have been trained to read, but they read the headline, they read the offer, and they also read the subheads under all the photos. Right? So if you're going through a newspaper, and a lot of times, I mean, we make the same mistake. We'll put a photo in there thinking it's self-explanatory and not put a subhead, forgetting that, you know, it's one of the first things they read. And so if you think about it, you go through a magazine or go through a newspaper and you see a photo that's interesting, first thing you do is you read what it says about the photo. You know, who is it? Why is this here? Why is it interesting? And so it's a real useful thing to remember that on those individual photos, you could well have a benefit-laden sub-headline that would be helpful. Maybe to wrap up on this pretty quickly to really kind of have it be an action plan is the balance here on the every door direct thing is the only selection you're getting, really, is you're getting a geographic selection. And then that geographic selection can turn into a little bit of an income demographic because you go, you know, drive a neighborhood and they're mostly three-car garages, or if they're on the golf course, or, you know, there's, you know, a fair number of new cars in the driveway or whatever, you get the idea that, at least in general terms, you're not mailing to a trailer park or the government-subsidized condos, right? What it doesn't do is tell you that you're mailing to, let's say, 27-year-old single females that are interested predominantly in fitness, but also may want to, you know, have some, you know, self-defense components, or that you're mailing predominantly to married parents own their own home with a 7-year-old in the household. And the most effective, the number one criteria for effectiveness in direct mail is the list. And then it's how targeted the mailer is to the list. And so what you end up with is, when you do something like Every Door Direct Mail, which has the, you know, has the advantage, and it's, you know, not to be sneezed at, of being extremely inexpensive. But you end up having to target essentially everybody in the neighborhood, hoping for the best. And it's the hardest thing to make work. Because, again, if I know that they have a 7-year-old in the household, or even better, I know they have a 7-year-old in the household and they just ordered the other program on how to fix behavior problems, right? Now I can really rifle target exactly what I know is going on in their mind, and I'll have a much higher response rate. Is that making sense? Ty, any other, yes, any questions or thoughts on this analysis? There's been a lot of good feedback from everybody.
I got a lot of good information. A big thing I heard was I needed to change my headline, but I didn't actually hear any suggestions of what I could change that headline to.
Yeah. Well, you heard a couple of versions, but the question becomes, if we want to target predominantly kids, then we can create a real powerful kids headline. On the other hand, if we do want to target adult men for jujitsu, adult women for fitness kickboxing, kids for self-defense, kids and families, then it becomes a little bit more of a challenge, right? And so let's see. What would be something? See, you came up with a headline that was a question. What was your headline, Pete?
I just stated in the terms of, you know, asking a question like specifically what he was looking for. Would confidence, self-discipline, and respect be things you're looking for, or would they interest you?
Yeah. Or you could state it in a more affirmative of, is it important to you to develop confidence, fitness, and focus this spring? You know, something like that. As a question.
I also like the who else wants. I like that headline.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who else wants more confident? Who else wants happier, healthy, more confident kids? Question mark.
Right.
You know, obviously that's just
kids, but yeah. I was gonna say I was trying to take it into a more generic, you know, across the board version of it. But who else wants hey, how about who else wants extreme confidence, disciplined focus, and total fitness? I mean, that's... Go ahead. Would you agree?
Yeah, that was you, actually.
Is that me?
Yeah, that was you, the video. I found a really good direct mail printer.
Okay.
on the website.
How do you find it?
I'll email it around everybody, but it's actually in the quick start area.
Okay.
If you go to the member toolbox, just the bottom left hand, the far left navigation item, there's a link that says free member bonuses, and it's a big archive of a bunch of stuff that we've done on you know, various items like this. And if you click I'll send everybody around the link, but it's basically, as one of the free bonuses for all of our new members, we give them seven webinars. And this is like a series that, you know, we It was like a $1,000 event, and we you get the idea through the ESA. And but if you click Watch Webinars, it's webinar number 5, and I'll send it around to everybody. But I did about an hour on direct mail, and headline construction, offers, all sorts of stuff like that. And I think there's one more in here too. So I'll send the links around to everybody so you can get at them.
I got a good question.
Go ahead.
Yes, I know you guys have an archive in there of things that have worked in the past. The question that I have for you is, because you're more versed at doing this, what is the how many times do we have to actually hit it before you get more results back? I mean, I think we got like 0.5% 0.5% rate of return. And we wanted a little bit higher, more like towards the 2%, 2 to 3%. So how many times do you have to hit them before you start getting that type of result?
Well, let's think about something for a second. So you got 0.5% response, right? So half of a percent.
Yeah.
So if you did 10,000 pieces, that ends up being 50 responses. And so 10,000 pieces. Ty, what's it going to cost on the Every Door Direct per piece?
The shipping is 17 cents, and I believe you buy 5,000 postcards for right at $400.
Wow.
Okay,
okay.
4 cents. So 20 cents a piece.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. So. Equals. So if you spent, Jeff, to use your numbers. So if you spent $2,000, and you ended up with, and I'm going from a 10,000 pieces, right?
Okay.
So if you spent $2,000 to get on 10,000 pieces, see, I mean, this is dirt. It is dirt cheap. Usually, we're planning on 50 cents to 75 cents for a postcard, but that's the targeted list, right? 75 cents to a dollar for a letter. So now, Jeff, using your numbers, if you got 50 responses, it only costs you $40 per response.
I got you.
And now if you converted half of them, so that's $80 per sale, that's like really, really, really damn good.
I got you. Okay.
And so to put it in perspective, so let's say that we're doing an average enrollment is, for granted, let's say $400 down. If I can get my advertising to be where I was paying for the advertising with that $400, right? In other words, if I got it where I was spending $400 to get a new student, I'd be tickled to death. I'd do it all day long.
Right.
And the example I use a lot of times, because it was just such a controlled experiment, was Keith Hafner's deal, where $100,000 a month school, netting $50,000 plus probably, you know, $15,000 overpaid to brother and sons and so forth. And his number was he was paying a little over $800 per enrollment. And
gotcha.
each enrollment that he did now was worth $5,000. So if you ran the numbers a different way, he was enrolling 20 people a month, grossing $100,000 a month. And therefore, what you knew was three things. Number one is pricing was pretty strong, right? Number two is retention was fabulous, and three is renewal rate was really strong. So he was making sure that everybody he enrolled was extremely valuable to the school. And then that number is he was spending about, well, let's say 15%. Of the lifetime value of a new student in order to get one. You know,
I got
more,
you.
But what that ends up being is he was getting what, a seven time return on investment. So for every dollar he spent, he was getting seven back. You know, you can't beat that number, right? So,
right. So
now how do you, you know, your question is how do you get it to 2%? Well, the only way really to get it on a single mailing to 2% is to do you know, something much more elaborate, right? And if you go from, you know, 20 cents a piece to, say, a buck a piece, you can do a four-page, you know, or four pieces of paper in an envelope, first-class piece of mail, right? Or for maybe 75 cents, you could do a bulk in with an envelope and do a four-page. And whether that would get a four-time return, I don't know. It would get probably a better return. I'm not sure it would get four times. And then the question is at 20 cents a piece, how many times should you hit them? My rule of thumb is always, you know, I want to hit them at least three times back-to-back pretty quick. The general advertising industry rule of thumb used to be you don't do anything without hitting them at least seven times. And my guess now on broadcast media is you've got to almost double that anymore. You know, if you're running on TV and they don't see it 12 or 15 times, they don't even know you're doing it. There's just so much. And whoever that is, if you can start six and mute yourself, we've got a conversation going in the background. I guess the first thing I would say, Jeff, is if I was doing a mail piece and in something like the Every Door Direct deal, because that was the numbers I was using, and if I got a half of a percent response, I'd be tickled to death, because that means it's only costing me $40 per response. Now, if I had done if it's costing a buck a piece into the mail, and I got the same response rate, then my cost instead of being $40 was $200. And now, if I still get half of them enrolled, my cost per enrollment is $400. See, I'm still okay with those numbers. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
It's the argument against sometimes the way people do some like a cardio kickboxing class. If you're doing $75 down, $75 a month, month to month, and they on average last 3 months, well, you know, you're only bringing in $200 or $300 in revenue per student who enrolls. So now I've got to be able to get them for like $20 a piece. And if that's the case, you know, things like Groupon and Living Social are fine, but I can't do anything else because just the value per person is a lot lower. Now, on something like that, if I'm charging $150 a month and I'm enrolling them on a 12-month contract EFT, and on average, let's say I get 6 months, changes the dynamics a bit because now they're worth $1,000. And now I'm okay to spend a couple hundred dollars to get them. But, you know, I can't spend $400, $500, $600, $800 on one because then the math doesn't work. Any other questions or comments on that before we move on?
I guess what we've seen, especially in recent history, look, direct mail isn't for the faint of heart, right? Especially in today's market. I mean, you know, the good news is there aren't a lot of the big mailers mailing right now. They're starting to come back, though. I mean, you know, 2 years ago, you know, you'd go to your mailbox and not have any junk mail, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you're starting to get a few pieces. So that tells you something. You know, a lot of these guys are, you know, that do this for, that you know, mail millions and millions of pieces of mail, tens of millions of pieces of mail a day. They're starting to come back, right? So that's a piece of good news. What we're seeing in recent history, all the people that I can think of in the last, I don't know, 9 months, you know, don't be surprised on EDDM if you get a 0.25% response. Don't be surprised on a targeted direct mail campaign if you get a 0.5% response. You have to be willing, you have to be ready for those types of response rates. Just
well,
because
you have to be able to make the numbers work, yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You have to be realistic about what these things can and can't do. If I had to do 25 enrollments a month, I wouldn't want a $5,000 direct mail campaign to be the first 3 enrollments that I did. But if I have to do 25 enrollments a month and I've already got 22, I'm fine with it being the last 3. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, if I'm looking for something you know, to get those first 20 enrollments, it's not going to be in direct mail, you know.
Right.
It's going to
well,
be, I'm going to go to the elementary school, and, you know, I'm going to do something in the community. But,
well, and probably, and probably the last point to make on that, and this is very specific, Ty, for you, is the most important, and Master Miller, for your education, Ty's predominantly driving traffic into the school, doing about 60,000 a month, predominantly through lots of community events. And so very similar to, you know, Fresno, where lots and lots of events, lots of leads from the events, lots of appointments from the events, obviously sorting through, you know, working hard to sort through a fair amount of junk leads for a good one. But the most valuable place for you to do elaborate direct mail and frequent direct mail and repetitious direct mail is through all the leads that you generate through those sources that you didn't either didn't get into the school or didn't get enrolled when you got into the school. And of course, the more you can sort it between, you know, people who are completely dead broke and stuff like that, and people who look like they're pretty good prospects, the better off you are. But for everybody, I rarely see anybody going after their prospect list in anywhere near enough with enough frequency and enough follow-up. And clearly everybody should be sending the Kickin' newsletter, and when we automate and do it for you, just plug all your leads into that to have it done. You may want to be sending it to them physically, i.e. by direct mail as well every month. You should be sending them the words of the week and all that kind of stuff every month. But what you want is a fine combination of educational material, pure promotional material, and invitations to everything you're doing in the school, going out to everybody who's raised their hand at least a little bit along the way. So that, and again, it goes back to the most effective criteria and what's going to work the best is the list. So the list of people who've expressed some interest already is much better than just because they live in the right neighborhood. But hey, let's shift directions here, because we have spent quite a bit of time on that. And
if I could interject the one last point on that, in Ty's particular case, then if he's doing, you know, he's doing 60,000 a month, mostly driving community market, I would say that direct mail is a great layer to lay it on top of that. You know,
that's exactly
the position that you want to be in that type of a with that type of a media. If I were on the opposite end of the scale and I'm barely doing 11 or 12 enrollments a month, I wouldn't be recommending that you go, you know, do a $10,000 direct mail campaign to try to make that 20. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to be relying on as your primary or first driver.
No. Yeah, there's a lot. Exactly.
Let's shift here for a second. And Tim, are you still with us here? And we've had a lot of people that dialed in since we had everybody introduce themselves. So anybody who hasn't introduced yourself on the call, do so.
That's anyway. A yes, sir, Tim.
I didn't get that. Say it again.
Sure. Yes, sir. Tim's still here.
Okay. Hey, Tim, let me ask you. Paul Miller's here?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Welcome, sir. And
hi,
Tim. Let me ask you. Hi, Wynn is here. Hey, hi. Congratulations on the bouncing baby. How's the new baby?
She's awesome. She's sleeping about 7 to 8 hours, so I'm happy.
Good. And how old is she now? What? 4 months? 3 months?
She's three. She just turned three.
3 months. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's always delightful. Okay, who else hasn't identified themselves? Okay, well, we still have a lot lurking in the shadows here, Master Melroy, but it's not unusual. So, Tim, let me start with you, and then I'll shift to Paul, if that's okay. Tim, what are three or four big takeaways from our Orlando meeting that you're busy implementing?
My goodness. Well, I suppose the biggest one is getting together the leadership program based on the outline that you have. And I'm looking very much forward to, if we're talking about in the next couple of days, you will have the ability for you guys to send out information to the students.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you're really getting, you know, getting the finishing touches on a black belt program and the leadership program for my upgrade program.
That is probably, well, the biggest thing, but that also ties into staff training, because that's getting my staff familiar with that is about right now 80% of their training.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think.
Well, and again, there was a lot of great things out of that last meeting. We are on renewals. You know, we've put some incentives in for people renewing early, and that's getting us a nice little boost of people if they redo, if they renew 30 days out or more. We've offered them just a small incentive, and that's getting that rolling for us.
Yeah, you know, what I should do here today is I'll send you one of the tuition price sheets we've used for the franchises, and
okay.
as an example, and you've probably all seen it before, but just as a reminder, is we've always had it set. I mean, this was an idea from John Worley back 20 some years ago, but a much lower rate at white belt if they renewed into Black Belt Club or into leadership than it was when they got their gold belt, which is used to be at a 2-month or a 3-month threshold, is now at a 2-month threshold, and then a lower rate at gold belt than once they attest it. And we discussed in Orlando, but I always had our staff focused on renewed in cycle or out of cycle, and my conversation literally was, if they're not renewed by orange belt, they're a dropout, and they just don't know it yet. And the easiest renewals we ever did were white belts, and the second easiest were gold belts. And again, I'm talking about first 2 months, second 2 months. But we had the thing really strongly structured so that there was a huge incentive, and I mean, you know, presented as $3,000-$5,000 savings to complete the renewal prior to the gold belt test. And then what you would have is literally test night or, you know, graduation night, you'd have four or five people rushing in with a check to finalize before they lost the discount. And again, nobody ever does it because there's a discount. They do it because they want to. But if you don't have some price leverage, what a lot of them, that even though they want to, they'll say, well, yeah, we'll do it in the spring when, you know, when our finances are a little bit better, or we'll do it, we'll do it after Joey's next report card, or they all come up with excuses because nobody wants to make a decision today they can put off until next month. And so you want to have a point of leverage at the end to get them to do what they want to do now rather than procrastinate. If that makes sense. Well, Paul, let me shift the question to you. What are three or four takeaways that you got from Orlando that you're busy implementing?
Well, first thing I have to say, it was the best meeting ever, because it literally hit on every area that we needed the most.
Okay.
The biggest thing for us was, number one, was the staff training, and we literally... You did it step by step by step of how in fact we can, you know, almost set up like a rotating curriculum for them, and what the expectations would be. And then on top of that, the accelerated program or a quick start program for instructors, that was also incredibly helpful. And we've already started contacting local colleges. We have 5 people already ready to go to work on doing a quick start program for martial arts instructors. So that's really exciting for us. The other part of it was the marketing part, with all of you guys, like Master Milroy and yourself, and also Master Clark. I mean, there was just so much awesome information there that it just hit on every possible thing that we needed at that moment. So we were just tickled to death.
Fantastic. Hey, we got to get you to put that in writing and send it over. And I'll remind everybody who was there, several of you have sent over pretty extensive notes. Anybody who took pretty good notes, whether you're on your laptop or handwriting, if you could fax them over or email them over, we'll share them with everybody. Hopefully that's useful, not only for anybody who wasn't there, but for everybody who was there to pick up a couple of points that you may not have made note or pick up some additional enhancements. But Paul, so you are aggressively implementing the staff development pieces of that.
There's no question. We also, we are actually using the exact same process for our building our bench strength for our child care directors as well. So, mm-hmm. So it was kind of a timely, timely thing for us. But I did have to ask, did you mean to tell me my son did not send a glowing referral there?
He did not, so you have to slap him around.
I will do that. even though I'm an old guy, I still have a lot of tricks.
Absolutely.
Well, and in Paul's model too, just to take a minute on that, I guess. Obviously, for everybody that was there, we spent a good amount of, or for everybody who wasn't there, we spent a decent amount of time on kind of like an outline for, deliberately developing staff, not just having it happen by happenstance, right? And that's one of the biggest, I believe that's one of the biggest like constraints in this industry in general is that, we just don't have much of a plan for growth, therefore we don't get it, right? So, we just like hope somebody, one of the black belts ends up being a teacher one day and, hope that works, right? So in Paul's model, I think it's a critical component that, let me backtrack a minute. When you're looking at expansion, you're looking at growing in any direction, whether it's growing, in your own four walls, or growing to multiple locations, one of the things that you have to have a system for is developing people, developing staff, right? Developing people who can go and execute these things. And it's just one of the sort of hamstrings and bottlenecks in this business. In any small business, any single owner operator small business suffers with this same challenge. But if you look out into the market and take yourself out of your own skin for just a minute so that we don't have any kind of negative emotional reaction about this. But if you look out into the market, look at the brands that have a high degree of success, right? And let's forget McDonald's for a minute, but let's look at Silver Learning Center and Kumon and Huntington and, Subway and Quiznos and, these other business models, these very similar to martial arts where it's a single owner operator, it's a small business, they're in a small retail location, things like that. When you start looking outside the windows, what you find is that, for the most part, they have figured this out. They have figured out that this business's growth is based on people, right? It's based on having the right people, and then we can figure out how to bring the market, right? How to figure out how to get people into the business. But if you don't have the people, if it's just you, rock your ruck, If it's just you, it's just you. You can only do so many things in a day, right? So, I think that that's, and in Paul's model, four locations, plus they're in the child care business, for them, this is critical. If they're going to get to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 locations, or if they're just going to continue to have that funnel of new staff people who can, who can do great work, that you've got to have that mechanism. It's a machine that has to be operating inside the four walls of their business. And it has to be, in my belief, in my estimation, it has to be deliberate. It has to be systemic. It has to be, ongoing. It can't just be episodic or, at worst, sort of epileptic, where you have like a fit of activity for a month and then you don't do anything for 2 years, and then a fit of activity for a month and you don't do anything for 2 years, right? So just as a matter of systemic, sustainable growth, you've got to have that going on. You've got to have a mechanism to be able to do that.
You bet. And Paul, I'll put you on spot again here. So, what would you say to Ty and Jeff and Hi and some of the other guys who didn't make it down to the meeting? Did they miss out on a few things that were extremely valuable for them?
There's no question. And they missed me, too. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Well, that's right. That's right. Year end, what was your total gross year end? Was it $4.5 million, $5 million, or where did you guys end up last year?
$4.6 million.
$4.6 million.
Yep.
So, and that's across four locations?
Four locations.
But this one's on the way. That's the one that you're buying the building and yeah, okay.
That one's going to be a 16,000 square foot facility.
15,000. 15, yeah, that'd be biggie. That's gonna have capacity for what, about 250 kids?
That'll be almost 300.
Oh good.
300 children. Then we're also gonna have martial arts. We'll also have a parkour instruction on the weekends when we're not open. We have 200 parkour students waiting in the wings for this location as well.
Fantastic. I love it. Let me shift to Marty. Marty, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Hey, what are your top two or three takeaways from Orlando?
Well, staff development was a key, and preparing ourselves for the launch of our leadership program.
Okay. What's specific about the staff development? Of course, we spent pretty much a full day on it. What are some of the specific things that resonated for your school?
Well, for us, we're transitioning from me being the sole person doing everything into bringing staff on. We have an instructor in place now, and I asked you specifically, you know, what is the next thing for us to do? And you said to bring on an assistant program director who could transition into a program director. So we're now putting together the material we need and beginning that process of finding a person to do that.
Right.
So there were lots of, you know, I've been doing this for a long time and I've made a lot of mistakes. And what I got from the Orlando conference was a much better way to go about doing it than I've ever done before. So that was the takeaway for me on that area.
Fantastic. And it seems like it was valuable for everybody to go through all the resources that that we've been offering for quite a while, but a lot of even higher level guys have and women have not been using effectively. But then clearly, and kudos to Master Milroy and Merrick and Bill and Bob and all of the team that have been doing it. But this new ambassador program and the new leadership program material is just fabulous. And Toby, you're about 99% of the way there on that new poster to promote that as well. That one's really, really, they're knocking my socks off. It's really good. But I think what happened is a lot of people just didn't realize all the different resources that are either new on the first of this year or were already there to support the Black Belt Club, the leadership program, the assistant instructor teaching program. But now, as we get to that next level of it being automatically delivered to your students and bringing them back to a web page and one thing or another, an awful lot of those tools will be done for you, and then it makes the transition so much better. I think the thing that I would again and again and again hit everybody over the head with and point out is our assessment for, you know, Master Smith and I, our assessment and all the way back to the Junior Institute is 75 or 80% of the business that you will do in the school is predicated on the renewal and the upgrade. And really the difference between the big winners and the losers is the interaction of your dropout rate or your retention rate and the renewal rate. And so if you can have, you know, as we saw last year, there at Sterling, if you can have 75, or in their case, 87% of everybody who enrolls upgrades, and if you can have 90% of those, or, you know, worst case, half, end up with something where they're what they're paying literally doubles, is in a very short order, you go from where the average enrollment is worth maybe $1,800 to school to where the average enrollment is worth $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. And when you start getting into those numbers, the nice thing is it positions yourself, see, it's easy. It positions you to be extremely effective as a marketer and an advertiser and anchor yourself in as the premier martial arts facility in your area, because now you have enough revenue coming in for each person you get that you can spend money on TV, and you can spend money in the newspaper inserts and direct mail and huge signs and all the other stuff. So you can really anchor that in. And it becomes a positive feedback loop where the higher you get the value per student, the more money you can be out there spending in order to get a student. And then all of the money you're spending all works in synergy. So, you know, the biggest numbers I ever had was I'm on TV and I'm doing newspaper inserts and I'm doing direct mail and we're doing community outreach and we got a couple big hits on TV shows or newspaper articles, different PR hits, and all of a sudden it starts working together and makes everything work better. But you want that constant positive feedback loop. Hey, Pete, let me put you on the spot again. So let me go back to Pete. What were two or three big takeaways for you?
I was really empowered with the Quick Start staff and the Renewal Blitz. So the two things I really, I kind of felt empowered by the whole Quick Start staff idea about, you know, condensing their training over a shorter period of time and really, you know, doing like 10 and 12-hour training weekends to really get people up to speed faster. But most importantly, I think it's the point you just reiterated, was the fact that the majority of what we want to focus on when it comes to new staff is that first, you know, up to 14, 16 months of the student's life, we need to create people to be proficient then. And then down the line, you know, other things happen with development.
Yeah. We have a tendency to want to hire an instructor who can teach everybody up through 4-3 black belts or something like that. You know, or if it's a jiu-jitsu case, want to be able to take them up to black belt. But the reality is it's always at least half. And oftentimes more of your student body are those people in the first year. And so if you can get a really good instructor who's good at teaching first-year students, and really the most important one is the white belts, right? So if they can be extremely effective at teaching the white belts and prepping the white belts on the renewal and getting them really anchored into the program, I mean, that's where you create or fix all your dropout problems, is once you get them enrolled, if they really get committed to the program long-term, you solve the dropout problem, and if not, you know, they're all going to drop out. Any other quick takeaways from the Orlando piece?
Well, I think just the tightness of the website and how it is and how things are coming together are really make. And it's funny that Toby said episodic, because that was actually one of the things I wrote down on my journal, I think the second night, about follow-ups, you know, because I have so many events to try and create marketing and promotion and a buzz and traffic. That sometimes the follow-up is only like a 6 or 7 week window where it's, you know, post-event, but then I'm on to the next follow-ups on the next event. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing. Not being episodic in my follow-up really does translate down the line.
And you've done a really good job with the autoresponders on your site, by the way. I went in and opted in, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and I've been paying attention to that. And what is your web address again, Pete?
SanBrunoMartialArts.com, S-A-N, B as in boy, R-U-N-O, martialarts.com.
So I suggest everybody go out into Pete's site and watch some of the autoresponders coming out. I especially like the one on the celebrity one, the cover of the, what's his name?
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, there you go.
It's funny you mentioned that one email, because that's the one that seems to turn over a lot of adults to actually get them to pick up the phone. So that's, you know, celebrity endorsement is great.
Oh, absolutely. And we missed the point that there's an enormous amount of, and probably missed the point. I mean, it's not on my radar, except I try to pay attention to all the martial arts stuff, you know. everything from Michael Jackson's kids who were taking lessons from Don Barnes in L.A., and there was People magazine picture of the kids coming out in their martial arts uniforms, all the way to Robert Downey Jr., you know, going from being a heroin addict to turning his life around, and attributed all to his kung fu training. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff like that out there that, frankly, we should all be using all of it. Especially the ones where they're not people who are readily identifiable as martial arts stars, you know, not the Chuck Norris's and Jet Li's, although those are valuable, but all of the others are extremely useful.
Can I speak to one
Nick,
more
you
point?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just one thing that I kind of realized we talked about, I think, on our last call last month about being real with your goals, like how can I add 15,000 gross or how can I, you know, generate different renewals. Having that autoresponder sequence has really freed up a lot of my time to be more strategic with where I spend my time. Because I used to be the guy that had 30 line items, you know, binging my phone and, you know, okay, write these emails now. But that autoresponder really has allowed me to be, it's funny, but it's allowed me to be more personal in my approach with other people and things. So I know that's, but it doesn't translate right away. It is a slow trickle, but I do see the flywheel is starting to come around, which is great. So.
Yeah, and that's where, I think everybody underutilizes a lot of the resources that we're providing for you, done for you. As, the HTML kick-in newsletter every week should be going out to all of your prospects. And it's a really good support tool there. And, you know, you go through the list, so we have, you know, just an enormous amount of stuff that's either just cut and paste and put it into your own sequence, or as soon as this other piece is done, you just enter the leads there, and they'll start getting a whole, a whole trickle of email from us branded, co-branded with you, as well as everything else you set up in your autoresponder sequence. And it's all about educating and being in front of their awareness and capturing their attention and not have it be about just, you know, pitch.
And if I wasn't stronger on that particular item, I actually had a couple of questions about this lower in our window. And because I had described this to a few people about a year ago or so, and I want to kind of just make sure everybody understands how it works. This deal where you enter in prospects and students and things like that, there are two evolutions of it, and evolution number one is really all we're working on right now, but let me just lay a couple of concerns to rest, right? The only content that they're going to get when you put them into these newsletters are those exact newsletters coming from you, you know, co-branded from you, right? I've discussed in the past a strategy that we've used within the franchise business and within a couple of these other kind of models where we have the ability to do affiliate offers directly to the customer, right? So, for example, the guy who does college planning, we can have him sponsor articles in the content where if a student decides to use their college planning company to do their college planning, the school gets a kickback, you know, those types of things. And that's not what we're talking about right now. You know what I'm saying? So all that stuff is a whole separate category of thought. So just kind of let your mind rest at ease. The only content that these guys are going to get is exactly what you enroll them for. You know what I'm saying? So if you want them to get the kick-in newsletter every week, they're going to get that. If it's a prospect, you put them into the prospect kick-in newsletter because that gives them articles, but it also gives them offers, right, to come back to your website, things like that. If you put them in a National Black Belt Club or Leadership or whatever it is, that's the only content that they're going to get, okay? So don't think that it's the strategy of marketing directly to the customer. That's a later strategy, right? That's something that we'll talk about later after we test this out for a while and see how it goes. If there are people who are interested and who want to use that as another monetization process, we'll cross that bridge then. But that's not what we're doing at this level.
Yeah, most of what this would be is it would be educational content that supplements the invitation to whatever special event you do and the occasional real hard pitch or offer. So it's lessons of the week and trivia about martial arts, and it's all the stuff that you're getting already as far as the HTML kick-in newsletter. So it would be that, and the levels would be prospect for inactive students to be getting the kick-in newsletter and that kind of content. Then it would be enrolled students. Then it would be a Black Belt Club member. Then it would be leadership member, and then it would be assistant instructor or gold team participant. So if they were an assistant instructor program person, they would be getting gold team content, they would be getting leadership material, Black Belt Club material, the general student material as well. And so it all kind of layers on top of each other. And a high priority for us with this is really two ends of the spectrum. One end of the spectrum is prospects, so you have more in content to just stay in front of them constantly. And the other end of the spectrum is high-level assistant instructor and instructor teaching training materials that's automatically delivered for them and is dripping on them and is developing them on a regular basis. So both of those things are real effective. And something, by the way, I would do to point out is from an online marketing standpoint and offline, but everybody needs to be much more focused in general with developing a positive testimonial and positive feedback online. And hi, you're still with us, right? And I never heard if Eric was on the line, but something I did just recently, and I just did it again so I can take a look at it here, is I Googled martial arts lessons Houston. And if you look at Elite Mixed Martial Arts Houston, which is high in Eric, is they have 189 Google reviews and a 5-star rating. And they've done a really good job of focusing on search engine optimization and so forth. But what I would suggest you do is look at Travis's site. You have Team Took Mixed Martial Arts. Team Took and Travis, you have 25 Google reviews and a 4.7. And look at Elite MMA, which is elite-mma.com. But just go through and Google Martial Arts Lessons Houston. And Travis, you're getting, when I do that, of course, all this stuff kind of varies based on what what your IP address is and stuff. But I'm getting, Travis, you're getting the top two organic listings. And then the number one Google Local or Google Places listing is Elite Martial Arts. And then, Travis, you're the bottom on the, which is fine. I mean, you're still in the Google Local or Google Places listing there. Just fine, but hi, I'm really impressed with Travis. 25 is good, but 189 is spectacular. It really, really merits putting that effort in because, again, what's happening is more and more people have been trained by Amazon and everybody else to look at those ratings. And number two is, you're always going to have sooner or later you're going to have somebody, either a competitor or just a malcontent who's going to go slam you online. But if you have 189 ratings already with a 5-star, one or two of your competitors are mad at you or some malcontent isn't making any difference in the world. So it's useful to always be prepared and aware of that. But again, kudos on that. You guys have done a really good job focusing on that. Well, good, Matt Miller. We're at our time limit here. If there's any other quick question or comment, anybody wants to, feel free to chip up or chip in. I'm going to have to run to another call in about 2.5 minutes here.
This is Carol.
Go ahead, Carol.
You mentioned ways of having an aggregator for getting the word out because I need a lot of staff that I had lost. And
yeah.
I did, I'm not sure if I can remember the name of them, but there were three that you had mentioned, and I did Resumator and Simply, I'm trying to think, and then Indeed.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, and it took me a lot of time to work my way through them and fill them in and everything, but I found out Resumator was really superior to the other two. And on the Simply Hired, I only got 3 hits out of it, and they went back to 2009. I mean, these people would be dead by now. Or if they don't have a job after that, I don't want them.
Oh, yeah.
And Resumator helps you to fill it out so that it'll give you a rating, how good was your ad, and was going to be effective. And, you know, the first time I wrote it, it said, very little chance you're going to get anybody, and what you need is to put in more details about blah, 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 blah. And so I went through it like 6 or 7 times until I got it up from like 50% to 84%. So it was a really good site. And then after I had already paid for the other two to get some whatever I could get off of those, Resumator said, and by the way, we include Simply Hired and Indeed.com because we use them too. I was like, oh, what did I spend my money on those two for? But anyway, so Resumator was really good. And you can put in a bunch of different ads because they need a bookkeeper as well as a program director as well as an instructor. So it's once you get the idea of how to use it, it's easier to put in more ads.
Mm-hmm. So that's Resumator, resumator.com. The URL that I'm seeing is the Resumator, theresumator.com.
Mm-hmm.
And to catch everybody up if they're lost a little bit, this was an aggregator for finding work employees. And I said I had some pretty good luck recently with LinkedIn. But it's a place where you can go, place your job ad, and then people raise their hand and respond online, right? And this is an aggregator, meaning it places it out at a whole bunch of different job boards and then pulls them back into this one location. Is that right?
Right. You know, they say for free. For free, they'll send your ad out to a bunch of places. But, like, I think it was Simply Hired that I found out that what they actually do is they have a bunch of resumes from way back. And all
mm-hmm.
they do is link you up with a resumes that they already have. And I didn't find that to be very useful, especially since this is kind of, you know, like, say, an instructor for a martial arts school and we're going to train you and so forth. It's a little unusual. It didn't fit in their categories. If you put instructor, you'd get a whole bunch of people that it didn't have anything to do with. So that one didn't work so well for me. But I haven't figured out how to work or how to use LinkedIn. I can barely ever figure it out. So
mm-hmm.
that will be another work of trying to figure out how to do it. Because it's, as you said, better to go everywhere you can. Go on college campuses, just put it up on bulletin boards around. Tell all your students and anybody they know, get it out as many places as you can. So I don't know how to use LinkedIn yet, but if you're having luck with it, maybe it could finally be of some actual use instead of it's, I would think, what am I using this for? I don't need a job.
Yeah. No, I had pretty good response from LinkedIn. I think 33 or 35 resumes submitted. And again, you know, some of these things you go in and they have a pool of resumes that you're out, you know, looking at. The others are where you're posting the job and they're responding to you.
Right.
I'd much rather have it be they're responding to me than I'm trying to, you know, poke at people who just put a resume up there whenever. I imagine that's not terribly effective. Well, good. Well, thank you for that contribution, Carol, and I think we've run out of time today. Thanks so much for everybody's contribution, and again, any notes you have, send them over. Any tweaks or feedback, send them over, and as always, glowing testimonials, referrals are welcome.
Hey, Carol, why don't you just call me on my mobile phone as soon as you hang up?
Okay, can you hear me real quick?
Or give me your number, I'll call you.
Oh, okay. I'm at 2-332-0745.
Okay, I think I missed the first number. What was the area code?
202. Sorry.
202, got it. Okay, I'll call you now.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye guys. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.